What's up, everybody? Hey, I want to welcome you to Engaging Heaven today. I need to tell you that you were created for the supernatural. God has a plan for your life. In the next few moments, we're going to feed your spirit. We're going to cut through the fluff and get to the stuff. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today. What's up, everybody? Hope you're doing well. Here we are, Engaging Heaven today. I'm James Levesque. We're heading at the end of our week here. Thank you for tuning in to our devotionals. Thank you to all of our new subscribers on Podbean and for the new iTunes reviews. I love, love, love everywhere we go. We travel. People touch base with us. Let us know they're listening. It encourages me. Great to hear. We're going to call this episode, What Remains. What Remains. I love the fact that we serve a God of restoration. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in others. You know that people can seem like they're down and out, but God resurrects promises. And it's important that we understand God's nature, right? If we look at him as a God that isn't full of love and blessing and healing, and then we're not going to get that. In Mark chapter 6, it says that Jesus could do no mighty miracles in his hometown, but it also said that they looked upon Jesus and said, isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that the brother of James and so-and-so? And the truth is, they were right. He was. But they weren't fully right of who he is. And the truth is, when it comes to Jesus, what you see is really what you get. What you perceive is what you receive. If you look upon Jesus and all you see is just, you know, man, I need fire insurance so I don't go to hell. That's all you're getting. If you see Jesus and you see a savior, a deliverer, a healer, somebody that can help you, calm you, love on you, a good father, then that's what you'll receive. And it's important to know God's nature so we can understand his ways. And then when you understand his ways, you can receive from him. Nobody receives from an atmosphere of doubt, unbelief, and anger. So when we change in our minds God's goodness, who he is, what he can do, changes everything. You know, recently I had not my best parenting moment. I was playing a game with my son Isaac, and my wife goes to these yard sales and she just picks up. I swear by the end of the year, I need a yard sale for my yard sale. And she picked up this game, like Don't Spill the Beans or something. So it's a bean pot that's like, and we each put a bean on it. And then whoever tips over the beans, spills them, they collect the beans. Whoever runs out of beans wins. And I'm sitting with my son and I'm putting a bean on, he's putting a bean on. And I'm just, I don't know. I mean, I really do love my kid. It wasn't my best parenting moment. But I'm just like, you're horrible. I'm like, you're not good at this. I'm just talking a little trash. And he's like, I remember, I'm like, you're not good. He's like, I'm not. I'm like, no, blah, blah, blah. And I beat him every time. And then when I was done with the final round and I got rid of my beans, I'm like, you're horrible at this. And he said, I'm horrible? I'm like, yeah. And he runs off upset. That I said he was horrible. Look, not my best moment. And I'm thinking, dude, like, I like a little competition. Like, I like if somebody kind of jabs me to get me to do, you know what I mean? And didn't work for him. So then the next day, so I had to apologize. I'm like, you're not horrible. I was just teasing. We're having fun. We're in competition. So he doesn't like that. So the next day, we were coloring, and now I'm kicking into competition mode again. And honestly, he's not a better colorer than me. I mean, he's five. I started to say, you're not better than me at this. And I was like, Isaac, you're awesome. And he's coloring and he's doing his best, but he's not coloring in the lines. He's doing his best, but like if the head is there, he's scribbling, it's going a little bit above, a little bit below, but it's the right colors. And I just said, Isaac, you're the best colorer I've ever seen in my life. And he lifts his head up. I am? Oh, man, you are. I'm not kidding. Look, I've been around colorers, dude. You are the best one there is. I kid you not. The guy starts coloring even better, and he starts getting within the lines. And when we're done, I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Look, we can't receive in an environment when we think our father's angry at us. If you think the father looks at you and thinks you're horrible, that's how you're going to respond. But if you think that he loves you, because he does, and he's for you, and he wants you to succeed, you will. We're going to talk about a vision that happened in the Bible that tells me about his nature and that there's always hope for everyone. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today.
Hey everyone, Rebecca here. We want to thank you for tuning into the Engaging Heaven Today podcast. As always, please subscribe to our daily devotionals. And when you get a moment, leave feedback and let others know how you're being blessed. You can find more information at www.engagingheaven.com.
What's up, everybody? We're back. We're talking about what remains. In Daniel chapter 4, it's an interesting story here, which I believe really sums up God's nature. King Nebuchadnezzar, who is a really corrupt king, the Lord comes to him early on and says, look, I'm going to give you a vision. Here's the vision. Here's a tree full of leaves, full of splendor, and it's going to represent the favor on your life. So as this tree is flourishing and blossoming, so will your life be. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar started doing bad things. And then the Lord came back to him, and here's what the Lord says to him in Daniel chapter 4, verse 14, the Lord says, and it's a vision. So verse 13, I saw the vision in my head in my bed while I was watching. The Holy One came down from heaven, and the Holy One said this to me. Chop down the tree and cut off its branches. Strip off the leaves and scatter the fruit. Let all the beasts get out from under it and the birds in the branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and the roots in the earth. This is one of the most interesting things to me, because King Nebuchadnezzar had a vision, the trees flourished, then he gets a vision, and God says, cut all the branches down, you're not doing good. When the branches were big, it was a sign of success. God came to him then and said, cut them all down, cut everything, and leave the stump. Pride came in, the tree came down. See, we go through seasons of great blessings, and then for some of us, sometimes the tree comes down. But God said, tie it off, leave the stump. And when God said, leave the stump for the future, it was a sign to us about its nature. That no matter how far we fall, no matter what we go through, he is the God of what's left. He takes whatever's left and says, you know what, King Nebuchadnezzar, I still have purpose for you. I will still restore into your life again. This tree still has the ability to flourish. The roots are intact. You have to understand that he today is the Lord of what you got. And I'm here to tell you today, he's the God of what you lost. He is the God of the breakthrough. He's the God of what's left. Leave the stump. When we go through situations in our lives, friends, God will look at what's left in our lives. He looks at what you lost. And there's always hope for restoration. There's always hope for redemption when God is involved. And I need to tell you that if God allows you to lose anything in your life, you didn't need it to fulfill your purpose. Whatever it is you lost, it doesn't matter. You didn't need it to fulfill your purpose. God will use what's left. And we must hold on to the remnants because he is the God of what's left. And when he said that to Daniel, what he was saying is nobody ever is going to be too far that I can't restore. nobody is going to be too far gone that I can't heal and set free. See, Noah's miracle wasn't in the flood, it was the 8 people on board. God knew that even if a flood was coming to this earth, there's going to be people left. He's the God of what's left. Jesus said that the thief comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But he comes to give us life and life more abundant. So here's what I need you to do today. I need you to think about the areas in your life. What is God going to give back to you? What is God going to do in your life? You might have been through things. You might have lost stuff. Listen, not everything you lose is a loss because he's the God of what's left. And I feel today, God is going to restore. I feel from the remnants of what you're going through, God is going to bring back resurrection again. I feel like no matter where you are, you're not too far from God today. And I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you today for every person listening to this broadcast. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would resurrect in us again dreams, promises, visions, destiny. God, I thank you that no matter what we've gone through in life, no matter what season has come and gone, you are the God of what's left. And Father, I pray that you would take that stump today and breathe life on it again. I pray you would take these dry bones and that you would command them to live again. The areas in our lives, Joel 2, dreaming dreams again. God, I pray a resurrection and a restoration in our lives, even the places we didn't think had life anymore. I thank you that your nature is true, and you are the God of what's left. We give it to you. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, amen. Trust him. Love him today. We love you. That's all for today. We'll see you tomorrow. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today.
On behalf of Pastor James Levesque, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Engaging Heaven Today podcast. If you're ever in the Connecticut area, join us at Engaging Heaven Church. We're the one church with 2 locations, New London and West Haven. For more details, go to our website at www.engagingheaven.com.